We magnify your name, Jesus. We glorify you, oh God. Come on, why don't you praise him if you're thankful that you know that he's a miracle worker, God. Praise God. Somebody praise him for the miracle. Praise him. Praise him for the Holy Ghost that's already been moving in this place today. We worship you, oh God. We magnify your name, Jesus. We praise you. Praise God. Well, it is so good to be in the presence of God with you today. Praise God. We are so thankful for what we feel in the house of God, for the wonderful presence of God that always comes in and visits with us, that gives us access to the throne room of God. Praise God. It has been an excellent season of revival at New Life, and we are so thankful for all of the good things happening around the house of God in your family. And I can see the kingdom of God coming to pass in people's lives. The blessing and the favor of God just manifesting itself in you and in this church. Praise God. We're thankful for the 30 or so that have received the Holy Ghost in the last several weeks. We've seen an incredible upthrust of spiritual dynamic happening. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Praise God. So many good things happening in people's finances and their personal lives. Praise God. And we are just so thankful to be in the presence of God. If you're a guest here today, we want to welcome you. Why don't we welcome all of our guests that are in the house and listening online? We are so thankful that you have come to worship with us. And I just want to tell you that everything that we do around the house of God, we've had cleaning crews here this week, cleaning. And we've had people working on the property and doing all kinds of things to get us to this point, because we really believe that where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst. And what that means is that means all of the power of God is available in this service today. Whatever you, does anybody have a need in the house? Emotional, spiritual, physical, financial. I'm here to tell you that everything you read about in your Bible that God has ever done, he can do it today, and he can do it in this service, and he can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can even ask or think. Praise God. Whatever you came looking for today, that power and that authority and that anointing is in this place today. If you just need God to forgive you of your sins and to heal your family and your heart, that power is here today. And you are surrounded by people today that have come to the house of God over the years, and God has begun to put all the pieces of their life back together. Praise God. I've seen God restore marriages. I've seen God fix mental problems. I've seen God restore broken hearts. And that power and that anointing and that authority and that grace is in this place today. Praise God. We are so thankful to have Reverend Tyler Harris with us today. Praise God. From San Jose, California, an anointed man and an anointed life. And I have been, I've kept my ear to the ground as he has traveled across the country. And he's preached here before, but I am hearing the report coming back to us about all of the things that God is doing in and around his ministry. And it is a privilege for us today to have him with us. And I just want to tell you, I came with an expectation that I'm going to hear a word from God today. Praise God. Brother Harris, why don't you come and preach to us? Why don't you make him feel welcome? Give him a Birmingham New Life welcome today. God bless you. Preach to us.
Come on, why don't we give that unto Jesus? Come on, all across the house, why don't you lift up your voice? Come on, don't let your hand clap silence your praise. Come on, open up your mouth and lift up your voice. Hallelujah. Oh, if you're thankful to be in the presence of the Lord. Are you thankful to be in God's house today? Are you thankful to be in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Hey, there's nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like the King. Hallelujah. It's so good to be back in Birmingham, Alabama. Man, there is truly no place like Birmingham, Alabama. Amen. It is simply its own thing. Amen. There's nothing like New Life. Coming and hearing the worship, not just talented, but anointed. Because you can have talent, but not anointing. And it is a blessing to be able to come to a house like this where people have made up their mind, I'm going to magnify the Lord. Amen. Hey, you made a good decision to come to the house of the Lord today. And I hope you came expecting something from the Lord. I firmly believe that the Lord wants to move and touch lives today. I believe that the Lord wants somebody to hear his word today, his voice to be echoing through this sanctuary today. It's such an honor to be back and stand behind this sacred desk. Amen. Unfortunately, my wife is not here with me. Amen. I am surely missing her. Amen. I love her. Know that she is praying for me. She's back in the home front at our home church. Amen. That we base out of in San Jose, California. California is a little bit different from Birmingham. Amen. I think some of you know that. Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to give honor to Brother and Sister Collins. Amen. Love and appreciate them. Hey, you're blessed in the house. You're blessed in the house today. Every time that Brother Collins preaches, I'm just like, man, I'm going to throw back everything God just gave me. I think I'm just going to throw that back. I don't know if I can preach it. It keeps on going and going and going. Now, I'm not talking about time. Some of y'all are talking about time. I'm not talking about time. I'm talking about the word, the content. Amen. You're blessed in this house. Amen. And of course, he's not here today, but I give honor to Bishop Sutton and his wife. Love and appreciate them. Amen. So many friends, so many people I love and appreciate, but let's get into the word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 7. Amen. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? Amen. The Amplified Version reads, yet even lifeless things, whether flute or harp, when producing a sound, if they produce, they do not produce distinct musical tones. How will anyone listening know what is piped or played? And if the war bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? Amen. I want to go over to verse 10. And it reads, as Paul says to the church in Corinth, there may be so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without signification. None of them without signification. I also want to read another passage of scripture, Mark chapter 5, amen, and verse 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. I'll be reading it in another version today. Amen. Now a woman, which is a very familiar passage of scripture. Now a woman who was there, who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years, she endured a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she kept saying, If I only touch his clothes, I will be healed. I will be healed. I want to preach this morning, amen, from the thought, the distinction of sounds. The distinction of sounds. All across this house, if you can put down your Bibles and lift up your voice with me, and I want there to be an echo. Amen, of the voice. Come on, don't just clap with me today. Come on, I want you to lift up your voice. I want you to lift up your voice as loud as you can right now. Come on, every saint of God, I want you to lift up your voice. Come on, every guest and visitor, I want you to lift up your voice. In the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Let it echo in this house right now. Come on, let it echo from the front to the back, side to side. Come on, lift up your voice as loud as you can. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. If you're going to help me preach this morning, you may be seated. The distinction of sounds. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, in the very first book that he writes to them, chapter 14. Paul is making a distinction of noise and sounds and the importance of a clear communication and the clearness of the word. Paul really comes from the context of talking about desiring spiritual gifts and that he would rather that they would desire to prophesy. Therefore, that there would be an understanding and there would be exhortation and there would be comfort and there would be able to be the hearer could understand the word that was being given. He said, why don't you desire these gifts? I want you to follow after charity. I want you to take this pathway. I want you to go this way. This is what you should desire, because whether somebody comes to you by revelation or knowledge or prophesying or by doctrine, it was important that the sound was very clear. It was important that they understood what the word that was being spoken. And Paul talks about that, how shall you know the sound of the harp if it doesn't have a distinct tune? I'm telling you, if I started getting on that piano and playing and I don't know how to play, you wouldn't know what I was playing. You would start thinking that C was D and G, whatever the chords are today. But you wouldn't want me to get on that piano because there wouldn't be a clear sound. You would say, well, let me go ahead and you just go ahead and sit down and I don't want to hear that. But the distinction of the noise, he said, if somebody's going to play a harp and if somebody's going to play a sound, it has to be very clear and distinct. There has to be a note. And if the trumpet goes forward and there's a blasting of the trumpet, how shall the people know that it is time for battle unless that sound would be distinct? And he's letting them know that the importance of the sound matters. The voices that are going forth, it matters, because when you begin to hear sound, it begins to give direction. It begins to put people in a place to go. It's a message, amen, that is going off. He goes on to tell them there are many kinds of voices, so many kinds of voices. And he said, I want you to understand none of them are without significance. None of them are without signification. They all represent and symbolize something. They all have representation. They all represent something. All voices have meaning. You know why? Because voices stir us in direction. Every voice in our world today is giving a direction and a message. Whether we realize it or not, there's not one voice that's being piped in our world, in our society, in our neighborhood, in our lives that are not significant. Why? Because every time that the voice goes forward, it's pointing and trying to lead people towards a direction. They all have meaning and they all have direction as they begin to try to direct people. There are competing voices in our world today that are trying to grapple our attention, and especially grapple the attention of young people to stir them towards a direction. Even today in this house, you understand, there's many things that speak to you that have impact on you and impact your life and impact your family and impact your children. Man, whether we realize it or not, or whether we would acknowledge it, there's things like music that have a sound. Hollywood has a sound and a message. Social media has a sound and message. We know that the sports world has a sound, and it is significant. Can I tell you this morning that it matters, the voices and the sounds that we listen to, because the voice and the sound matters. Can I pause for a moment and let you know that it matters what's talking in your ears. It matters what you're listening to. It matters, hey man, who's speaking in your life today. It matters what's influencing you, because, hey man, when the voice and the sound goes forward, hey man, it's trying to stir the direction of where to go. Man, I don't want to give myself to just any sound. I don't want to give myself to just any message. I don't want to give myself, amen, to just simply any voice or any word. Amen, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Amen, when Jesus was saying, my sheep hear my voice. Amen, Jesus was making a distinction between his voice and all other voices. Jesus was establishing that my voice shall have authority over all voices. And so when you begin to listen and you begin to hear the sound, everything that we hear, everything that has to be vetted through the sound of Jesus. He said, my sheep, they hear my voice. He's making that distinction. And for the sheep to hear is for the sheep to know. The moment that you begin to hear the voice, you begin to hear, that means the sheep, because the sheep would understand, I don't just simply follow anything. I don't let anything just come and influence me. I have to know that my shepherd and who my shepherd is. And sheep don't just simply follow anything, but the moment that the shepherd comes, they understand the direction that they need to go. Hey, can I pause for a moment? This is not in my notes, but can I tell you that the church is the place where people get direction for their life. The church is the place where you find safety and you find rest and you find everything you need in the house of the Lord. You got to know the voice of God in your life. You got to know what voice is speaking to you. You have to be able to hear the voice of God as God begins to direct and to lead. The only way that you're going to know the voice of God is that if you know him intimately and you understand when he's speaking to you. Man, the voice of God, how can you just bear with me today? I'm just going to kind of take my time. Hey man, the Samuel is unfamiliar to the voice of God, and he is near the ark of the covenant. He's in the tabernacle. He's in the place where the glory of the Lord resides, and he's in this place, but he has not learned the voice of God. And so when God begins speaking to him, he doesn't understand that it's God's voice talking to him, and he thinks it's Eli, and he runs to Eli in the middle of the night and says, Eli, did you call me? And Eli says, boy, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. Samuel goes back into this place and it happens again, and he goes back to Eli and he's trying to understand, because that voice that he's hearing, and we've heard this many times, it's somehow significant and it sounds like the voice of the man of God. And so he's standing in this place and goes back to him, and Eli finally realizes, no boy, I'm not talking to you, but the Lord's trying to talk to you. And so when you get back to that place and the Lord begins to speak, I want you to say, Lord, speak, yes, servant heareth thee. This moment and place, he was in the sanctuary, he was in the place, but he did not understand the voice of God. Hey man, can I tell you today that it is imperative, hey man, that we understand that the words of God rest in the man of God's mouth, that the words of God rest in the pastor's mouth. Hey, thank God for a pastor. Thank God for a man of God that will preach the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, sound was so imperative in ancient Israel There had to be a distinction to know what direction to go. If it was time for worship, there was a sound. If there was time for war, there was a sound. We preach about it so much, about the Jericho walls falling at the shout, as they begin to shout because there was a certain sound, but they didn't know to shout and to go forward, amen, in battle. If they didn't know the distinction of it, and the moment they heard the sound, they'd recognize, amen, walls are falling. Amen, this is the opportunity to go. This is the direction that we're going right now. And that sound gave distinction. It gave direction. Now this is where we are walking. The Bible gives the example of that, how God establishes Ezekiel. He establishes Ezekiel as a watchman over Israel. A watchman means to keep, to be on the lookout. The watchman is to protect and is to see danger from afar off. The watchman would stay on the wall and he would begin to see the impeding danger. And so the watchman's job was to begin to sound the alarm and not to stay silent. But the man was to say, hey, danger is coming. Hey, watch out. I see that the enemy is encroaching. And that watchman had that responsibility. And so God looks at Ezekiel and he says, I've set you a watchman over Israel. Now, I want you to speak my words to them. I don't want you to speak anything less or anything more. And when you speak the word to them, if they don't respond to the word, then it's on their hands. But if you don't speak the word to them, Ezekiel, then their blood is on your hands. And so what I need you to do, Ezekiel, I need you to speak the word of God. When there's judgment, I want you to speak judgment. When there's healing, I want you to speak healing. Hey, I'm thankful for the word of God, that we can come to the house of God on a Sunday morning and a preacher can get behind the pulpit and preach my family to the direction that I need to go. And the preacher can preach salvation to me and compete with the sound that's going on in our world. Amen. There can't be a muffling of the sound. There can't be a muffling of the message. There can't be a turning down. Amen. The message that says, preacher, I don't want to hear what you're preaching to me today. Only preach to me what I want to hear. Can I tell you, the word cannot appeal to our carnal nature of the flesh. Hey, I don't want to change God into what I want God to be, but I want God to change me into what he wants me to be. I want to be shaped in his image. I want to be shaped in his likeness. I want to be shaped like him. The world says, no, do this, act like this, dress like this, behave like this. Contending voices that you feel all throughout your life that says, no, this is the answer and solution to your life. This is the way that you should go. This is how you should dress. This is what you should listen to. This is how you should act. All the while, they're competing voices while God's voice is trying to be supreme in our lives in a last day generation. Because God's word doesn't change, and God's word is forever settled in heaven. And he says, well, we can have revival, and we can have miracles, and we can have signs, and we can have wonders, while all of the competing voices try to muffle down the voice of the church. All sounds try to muffle the voice of the pulpit. I'm telling you today, there needs to be something that rises up in you that says, preacher, preach it to me straight on a Sunday morning. Preacher, give me the word of God, because I realize my salvation is hanging in the balance. Preacher, tell me the direction I need to go, because my family. Oh, my family is at stake. Give me the word of God. Israel got so rebellious that they looked at the seers and said, I don't want you to see. Seers, don't tell me what you see from God. And I don't want you to prophesy. Prophets, don't tell me what the Lord is speaking unto you. I want you to speak smooth things to me. I want you to prophesy deceits. I want you to preach smooth things that they don't require any friction. I don't know about you. I'm thankful to have a pastor in my life. I don't care if you're a preacher or not. You need a man of God in your life. Hey, can I pause for a moment? If you're looking for a church, can I tell you, don't bounce around from church to church. Find yourself a church like this church that you can settle in, and you can make this your house, and you can have a man of God, not just any preacher, but a pastor. I hope you feel good. I feel good on Sunday morning. I don't know what you came to see today, but I just came to preach. Sound the word of God. That's what it is. The world's trying to muffle the sound of the preacher. There's so many things that you begin to look back in history that the church had so many great opportunities to stand in a place of walking in authority and allowing there to be a superior sound echoing in the world. But the moment that we start silence in the pulpit, and the moment that we start sitting down and being silent, amen, as a saint of God, is the moment that things get chaotic and get crazy, and they begin to go out of control because there's not a sound being echoing. Can I tell you that the same way that the sound echoes from the pulpit, there needs to be a sound that is echoing in the pew. The same way that the preacher is echoing a message. Hey man, there needs to be something that rises up in a saint of God. Hey, and you guest and visitor today, God's trying to give you a certain sound that'll save your family, that'll save your kids, that'll deliver you from depression, that'll deliver you from anxiety. Says no, don't tell me what you see today. Just nothing that causes friction in my life. Nothing that's going to make me feel bad. Nothing that's going to convict me. Nothing, amen, that's going to make me to require change. Can I tell you today that the pulpit's not to make you feel good, amen, but the pulpit, amen, is to preach the word, the unfettered word of God in your life that says if it's sin, then baby, it's sin. If there's judgment, then baby, there's judgment. But if there's healing, the preacher also needs to preach healing. And if there's salvation, the preacher needs to preach salvation. Hey, I'm preaching to you today that everything that you need is in the house of the Lord, baby. Everything that you need is in God's house. Everything. Oh, somebody magnify the Lord right now. Oh, come on, somebody really lift up your voice. Praise God. Water break. Hallelujah. I want that sound. I want that word. I want that direction. I don't want to come to the house of God and play church. No, I want to be able to get into the presence of God and leave transformed. I'm telling you, if you come to the house of God and you still got your little gods laying around and you still got your little pet sins and you still have all of the things, hey man, that nobody can touch and deal with, I'm telling you, you're leaving the house the wrong way, because anytime that you step into the glory of the presence of God, there is an opportunity for transformation. Hey man, you look at scripture, every time that they got in the presence of God, if they were meant to change, they were meant to be radically transformed. Jacob, when you step into my presence, you got to walk out differently. Jacob, I don't care if there's a limp, I don't care if there's a sign that shows, but every time we get into the presence of God, I want to be able to be, I want to leave differently. I don't want to leave the same way that I walked in. I don't want to walk in with my issues and my problems. I know I want to speak the word of the Lord. I'm telling you, there's voices in our lives today that are trying to compete with the all-sufficient one. His word that he says, it shall not fail. It shall stand the test of time. Can I tell you that the word of God still works, and the same creative power that was in creation is the same creative power that can take your life from brokenness, amen, and he can put you on a solid rock. You can go from the miry clay to standing. I wonder if somebody believes that right now. Yeah, you can go from being broken, busted, disgusted, whatever you want to say. You can go from being a mess to standing into the place of the house of the Lord in your right mind. When they looked at that demoniac and when he was delivered, they said he was clothed and he was in his right mind. He went. Woo. He went from everybody seeing what's wrong with him, seeing something's different about him. What they saying about you when you leave the church? He ain't the, I got to get close to you. I just feel more connected. He said, when they walk out, there was something distinct about him. They begin to realize, no, there's something different about him. He's not the same way that he used to be. He doesn't cut himself anymore. No, he's not depressed anymore. He's not an alcoholic anymore. And he's not addicted anymore. I want whatever he got, and wherever he encountered, that's what I want. And whatever he experienced, that's what I want. You said it was Jesus, then baby, give me Jesus. I want it. I'm telling you, it's in this house. You can have that power. You can have that deliverance. You can have that healing. You can walk out in your right mind. It's for everybody. Whosoever will. There was always a conflicting sound. There was always a sound that was being echoed. That's what happens when John the Baptist stepped on the scene. He was interrupting. It was a chirological moment that God began to interrupt as John was beginning to walk, amen, through the streets. And he was preaching in the wilderness. And he was preaching, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. There was an echo and a sound of dead religion at the time. There was dead religion and just things going through the motion, and John steps to the scene and he says, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, and there's one mightier than I who's coming, that whose shoe latchets I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Can I tell you that the word is the sound that combats all sounds in your world? You don't need to listen to what the enemy's speaking to you today. I don't care how long it's been. I don't care how big the issue is. The transformative kingdom of God, when the word begins to go forth, something has to happen. Oh, something has to change. John's preaching in this place, the transformative kingdom, and Jesus is stepping on the scene because the kingdom of God is meant to radically shift and transform our worlds. Hey, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, hey man, is not just some cute message that we celebrate on Easter, but the gospel, you can live it in your life. The gospel can work in your family. The gospel can work in your kids. The gospel can work in your marriage. Hey man, don't try to. Woo. Give me that distinct sound. There needs to be something in you. Well, I can't get past it. There needs to be something in you that says, when you come to this house, No, Pastor Collins, no, Bishop Sutton, no, don't just give me just anything. No, you give me hot off the press what God gave you. You don't water it down. Don't try to make it more palatable for me. Don't try to walk around my issues today. Don't worry about offending me, man of God. No, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to be healed. I want to be delivered. Come on, if you have to say it, say it. If you have to preach it, preach it. But preach to me, preacher. As they're giving a sound, the church can't give a sound. God can't give a sound while the world is telling you, you'll never get out of your depression. I read something the other day. You'll never stop being an addict. You just got to learn how to manage it. That's a lie. That's right. Say it again. That's a lie from hell. You just got to manage that issue and problem. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to somebody right now. No. You can live with the issue. You can live with the problem. You can live with the infirmity, and you can live with the issue, and you can live with the sin and the voices, but they can give a sound. They can give an echo. They can give a message. But we say, let's turn down the message of the church. I don't know how it is down in the deep south, but in California, if they can lock up a pulpit, they'll lock up a pulpit and say, you don't preach that, and you don't say that, and you don't give that. The moment that we stop preaching what we need to preach is the moment that we start shortchanging the church, because you can't get everything that you need. The moment that we start trying to be silent, no, we need to be loud. We need to echo a sound out into the world that says, in Birmingham, Alabama, there is a church that you can come and be saved. What's the address? 400 Roebuck Parkway. You just need to start posting little signs. If you want it, you can have it. Hey, I know where you can go if you need it. I know where you can go if you've been addicted for 18 years. I know where you can go if you've been confused in your mind. I know where you can go. Paul said, that's why he was writing to the church at Rome. He said, be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed. He said, you don't be conformed, because conform is to shape, it's to pattern, it's to mold, it's to assimilate, it's to allow yourself to be just pressed into the mold. He said, I don't want you to be conformed. And I don't think it's by accident that Paul's really saying that, because when you begin to look at the word conformed in the Greek, you begin to see the root word of conformed is echo, it's reflected sound. And so Paul's standing in this place, he understands the day that he's standing in, because even some would say that the Greeks, they believed in this woman called Echo, and her curse from this false god was that she could not speak and she could only hear the echo. And so the only thing that can begin to be reflected was simply the words that she heard. And so I don't think Paul was ignorant to Greek culture of the day. Paul was standing in the midst of that, and he said, you don't be conformed, you don't be shaped by the echo, the sound that you're hearing in the world. He said, but you be transformed. You know how you get transformed? It's being made over again. He said, you don't have to listen to the echo chamber, baby. Just let your mind be transformed. It comes from the Greek word morph. That means to shape, to change into another form. You know what happens when you come to the house of God? You can be transformed by the power of the Spirit. You can be transformed by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. He said, you got to be transformed. You got to be turned into another. You got to be shaped. You got to be radically transformed. Amen. That you're no longer the person that you used to be. I'm telling you, the echo and the sound of heaven is releasing a sound into our world that says whoever wants it, they can have it. Amen. The sound of Pentecost. The church has a sound. Jesus has a sound and a message that's filling this room right now that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heaven laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You shall find everything that you need. Why the sound of Hollywood is saying, no, you just stay addicted and you just stay in this mess and your marriage will never get better and it'll never change and you'll always be that way. You'll always be a liar. Your daddy was a liar and you'll always steal and you always will be unfaithful. While there's a sound from heaven that says, if you're heavy today, I have exactly what you need. If you're heavy today, I have the healing that you need. Woo, come on right now. I'm telling you, in this house, everything that you need, it's right here in this house. Combating the message. There's many people that have come under the care of many doctors, many people of the world, listening to the remedies of life. Hey, do this, go here. This is the answer to your problem. This is the way out. This is the issue. They with great swelling words, they promise much, but there's no return and there's no gain. Hey man, Peter tells us about this in Jude. They promise with great swelling words. Hey, this is the answer to your problem. And you just come to this class and you'll be healed of the mental issues. And you just take this pill and everything will be all right. And you just stay in this place and this is what I'll give you. And wow, all the while, it just simply gets worse. Simply just getting worse. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Standing in that place as you've listened to things, you've listened to voices, and it hasn't helped you, and things have not gotten better, but they've simply gotten worse, and you tried to listen to this friend, and you tried to listen to this family member, and it didn't work for you, and it seems like, well, things will never change, and things will always be this way. This is no different when we see in the Bible with a woman with the issue of blood. This woman, the Bible says that she had suffered many things from many doctors. She was standing in a place, I'm coming to a close. Musicians, you can come. I hope I'm coming to a close. She's standing in that place. She had been spent. Now, I hope that wasn't thank you, Jesus, that I'm coming on a close. I had to. I couldn't avoid that. Hey. Hey, love you. I might just go a little bit longer. That sound. She had suffered many things. Being spent. She wasn't just spent financially, she was spent emotionally. She was spent mentally. She was standing in a place that she had been spent. And she's standing and she's not found the answer to their problem. And it seems like it's only getting worse. And she tried many doctors, trying many different things. And all the while she's being stretched. She's pulled from one direction to another direction. And the reality, nothing's changing. It's just getting worse. Preacher, I heard that I can have this. And so I went to this doctor and I experienced all this, but nothing got better until she just made up in her mind one day, spent, confused. I know we always talk about her just running through the crowd and touching the hem of his garment, but we got to think. I want you to pause for a moment and really think about this woman. She's standing in this place and she really has nothing left. So broken, so confused. She's tried so many different things. And she's not able to find the solution. And I bet there was a sound that had been going off. We know that it was filling the streets of Jerusalem. It was filling all throughout the land. They were hearing about Jesus. They were hearing the message. They were hearing about there's one that can heal you. And there's one that can deliver you. And she had been going to these doctors. And she had been going to these places. And now there was a sound that was beginning to compete with that sound. And now the sound that Jesus was echoing. The sound that the disciples disciples were echoing, it was loud, and she realized, hey, I might as well just go ahead and try this Jesus thing out. I might as well just go to the house of God and see what he can do. I've heard about a Messiah for years. I've heard about Jesus for years. But what if I just make the decision to experience him for myself, not through my mama, not through my daddy, but for myself? Oh, standing in that place, and she's talking to herself, and the crowd is packed, and seems like, man, surely I can't get it today. Surely it's real busy. This is probably not a good time to get my miracle. This is probably not a good time for me to get delivered. Probably not a good time for me to get healed. Probably, no, it's not the right Sunday. It's not the right day. No. Maybe I'll come back. And I can imagine that she began to have this conversation and dialogue within herself, because it seemed inconvenient for that moment. And somewhere along the way, that voice was just pounding in her head. I'm your healer. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. I'm your Savior. She said, if I can but just touch the hem of his garment. A lot of times we take it as she just said it one time and a big declaration of faith, and she got her healing. No, but some believe that she just kept on saying it. If I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. I don't think that woman that day, she was just looking at a healing, but I think she wanted to be whole from the inside out. It wasn't just to be a miracle thief, but she kept on saying, if I can just be made whole, I can be made whole. If I can touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And she kept on saying it until she kept on crawling to where Jesus was. And the moment, because of all of her faith, the moment that she touched him, the moment she didn't worry about what everybody else was thinking. The moment she said, I'm not playing games anymore. The moment she said, if I shall be made whole. In that very moment she touched him, there was something. I'm telling you, there had to be. I'm not trying to be sensational this morning. I'm telling you as I feel it in the Holy Ghost right now. There had to be something that began to just feel her, that said, I've never been touched like this. I've never experienced this power like this before. I've never. Oh, Shakaeta. She knew something in her. I'll never be the same. Standing in that place, like an electricity bolt hit her. And she knew, I've been touched. Though she did the touching, but the reality is that God touched her in such a way that she would never be the same. So what are you telling me today, preacher? What have you spent over the last 30 minutes preaching to me? I'm telling you, there's conflicting sounds in the world, hey man, that are trying to drown out the voice of the church and to try to drown out the voice of Jesus. And I'm telling you, some of you came in this house today and you've been spent. People have taken advantage of you. People have abused you. People have hurt you. But I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost this morning, you've walked in the right house, that if you just simply allow him to touch you, if you simply allow yourself to be in a place where Jesus can move in you, baby, I'm telling you, you'll be healed. Baby, I'm telling you, you'll be made whole. There's a sound from heaven today. Comforter, the Paraclete, Holy Ghost, one that comes alongside. He's interested in coming alongside you today. You walked in this house burdened down. Baby, you don't need to play church another Sunday. You walked in this house heavy laden. You don't need to watch everybody get victory and you don't get victory today. I'm not preaching to those that have been having victory. I'm preaching to somebody today. You're blending within the crowd today. And I'm telling you, Jesus loves you so much that says, baby, I'm not leaving you alone. Let me touch you. Let me heal you. Let me restore. All across this house right now, I want you to lift up your voice right where you are. Come on, right where you are. I'm telling you, don't talk yourself out of a miracle right now. Don't talk yourself out of salvation right now. Don't talk yourself out of getting the Holy Ghost today. Don't talk yourself out of it today. I'm telling you, you can get it. You can have it. I'm telling you right now, somebody needs to respond to the voice of God. Somebody needs to respond and say, Jesus, I'm walking down to where you are. Jesus, touch me. I'm telling you right now, these altars are open. I'm telling you, there's a sound from heaven that says, I want to heal you. There's a sound from heaven that says, I want to deliver you. Come on, that's it right now. Come on, respond to that voice. Come on, respond to that voice right now. Come on, respond to that. Come on, respond to it right now. He is here. He is here. He's in this house. I'm telling you, everything that you need is in the house of the Lord right now. Everything you need is in the house. Come on, that's it right now where you are. I want you to lift up your hands. Come on, I want you to lift up your hands. Come on, that's it. I want you to lift up your voice. Come on, don't talk yourself out of it today. The King is in this house. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, guest, visitor, friend, all you got to do is lift up your hands right where you are and let God begin to touch you. Come on, church, I want you to pray right now. Come on, that's it. I want you to pray. Lift up your voice. That's it right now. Come on, that's it right now. The comforters in this house right now. The miracle workers in this house right now. The deliverer is in this house right now. I'm telling you, from the front to the back, let the Holy Ghost work in you. Let the Holy Ghost heal you. Let the Holy Ghost deliver you.
Nobody but Jesus. No other name by which I.
Come on, that's it. It's here right now. Come on, Jesus. Come on, when you don't know what to say, just simply speak the name Jesus. When you don't know what to say, just say the name of Jesus. Demons begin to flee. Darkness has to leave. When you speak the name of Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus. No other name by which I am saved.
Come on, that's it right now. Come on, I'm telling you, even where you're standing in the pew right now, I want you to grab a hold of your neighbor right now. I want you to begin to pray. Come on, just whisper that name. Just whisper the name of Jesus. Come on, just whisper the name right now.
Speak.
He's here. Come on, He's here. Come on, He's in this house. Come on, He's here right now. Come on, it's here. Come on, it's your opportunity. Come on, don't talk yourself out of it right now. Don't talk yourself out of it right now. Come on, don't leave the same way that you walked in, but allow yourself to be transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Right now, lift up your hands. Come on, right now, lift up your voice. Come on, it's flowing through this house right now. Come on, He's walking through these pews right now. Come on, there's nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like the King. There's nobody like my Savior. There's nobody like Him. Come on, I feel to tell somebody right now, don't give up on God. Don't give up on Him. He hasn't given up on you. Come on, don't give up on Him right now. Just touch Him one more time. Just touch Him one more time.
the Holy Ghost is doing a work all over the house. Why don't you link up with somebody for just a few moments? Come on, find somebody to link up with right now and pray in the Holy Ghost. Open up your spirit to what God's doing right now. I'm telling you, God's doing a work right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, what the Holy Ghost wants to do right now is a deep work. It's going to start on the inside. It's going to start in the heart. Come on, you may not understand what's happening right now. That's because what God is doing is starting on the inside. God's doing a work in the heart right now. Come on, in the book of Acts, before the Holy Ghost could be poured out, the Bible said that they were in one mind and in one accord. That accord is a musical sound. And then the Spirit of God began to move in that place. And then they heard a sound from heaven. I'm telling you, before you're going to see a visible manifestation of change in your life, there has to be a sound that comes on the inside of you. There has to be a one mind and one accord that's happening on the inside that says, God, my heart is linked together with what your spirit is doing. And then you're going to hear a sound from heaven. Come on right now, open up your spirit to it. In the name of Jesus. Come on, God wants your whole person, your whole body, your whole soul, your whole spirit. Come on, that said, link up with somebody and pray in the Holy Ghost right now. If you don't know what to say in your English, just close your eyes and begin to speak in that heavenly language. Come on, I know there are needs represented here. And there are people that you say, I'm desperate, I don't have the answer. You don't have the answer, but let your heart be one with God right now. Just close your eyes and begin to pray in the Spirit. Pray the will of God be done. Pray the will of God be done. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, let that spirit of intercession begin to speak right now. Begin to prophesy. Begin to prophesy in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, that's it. There's something deep moving in this place. Give yourself to it for just a moment. Let deep cry unto deep at the noise of his waterspout. One more time, why don't you clap your hands to him and shout to God with a voice of triumph today. What a wonderful presence of God is here. How many of you are thankful for the word of God that went forth today? Praise God. God is preparing us for a continuing work of revival. And it's going to impact every part of who and what we are, our homes and families and lives, our community. Praise God. As you leave today, greet somebody in the name of Jesus. Go out into your community. Compel somebody to come to the house of God tonight. We're going to have an apostolic service at 6:30, prayer at 6 o'clock. How many of you are going to come with an expectation that God's going to do something in this place tonight? God bless you. You can be dismissed today in the name of Jesus.